Hello and welcome back, everyone. You're here listening to the Web Nexus Effect. I'm your host, Tony Lontis, and in a moment, I'll be introducing you to the CEO of Web Nexus, David Bright Livingstone. But before I do, just a reminder, if you're listening to this interview live on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitch, or Twitter, please shout out, give us a comment. Don't forget to subscribe and also connect with my co-host, David from Web Nexus. A reminder too that you can see the replays of all these shows in all of these series on Binge Networks USA, Hero Go TV, the Everyday Women's Network, Tony TV, available on Roku, Samsung and LG across the planet and all smart TVs. Now, each and every week, we do a welcome to country, and this is an important part of what we as Australians do to acknowledge the special and important role Indigenous communities play in the development of our country's cultural identity. So I want to respectfully acknowledge the people of the Yugambeh language region, the traditional owners of the land on which we meet, and pay my respects to the elders past and present and all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders here listening and in the audience today. Now, as you know, this is a series of shows called the Web Nexus Effect. And each and every week, we get to share the expertise of CEO David Livingstone with you, and this week is no different. So welcome back to the show, David.
Thank you. Thanks, Tony. Thanks for having me here.
Now, we are doing this today to talk about POS or point of sale. Yes. David, point of sale is an important component for all businesses, isn't it? Well, most businesses that we can think of will require some point of sale product or solution, won't they?
Yeah, definitely. Point of sale is definitely a need for a lot of businesses because point of sale connects your offline business. Like, it can be offline as well, but since most of the world is connected to internet, I'm just taking this to online. So you can make your sales, you can print your sales, put an invoicing system into the point of sale system. And especially like with my idea, like into web, as being into e-commerce, so you can have your point of sales, which is connected to an internet. You can connect your point of sale to an internet, and then through that, the internet connects that to that point of sale to the e-commerce of yours. So it is like,
yes.
So you integrate your POS, which is in your local shop or maybe a physical store, and then you push that inventory or maybe the orders, the customers' records, everything from your local inventory to the online store through a point of sale machine. So the point of sale is something where you can also do something like where you can log your customers, where you can add all your inventories, manage the daily profits and loss, profit, sales, quantities. So everything can be managed if you have a small store. Instead of writing on a pen and a paper, so you can have a point of sale system, which is like very cheaper now. So any computer can be used to have this point of sale in your system. Any computer, any tablet, any mobile phone, which you can work on.
It just needs an internet connection, David?
Yeah, that just needs an internet connection because there are also point of sale systems without an internet, but then with internet, it is more versatile, more flexible. So you get a whole lot of digital opportunities. You get to have customers whom you haven't seen. Maybe like, for example, if somebody is from India and you are selling a product from Australia, and you might, as a physical store, you might be able to cater to the audience of 1 to 2 miles or 1 to 2 kilometers surrounding you. But if somebody is seeing your store from India and they're really interested in your product, so if your point of sale is able to connect to an e-commerce, they can explore through your store completely, your inventories, and they can pick a product from your store, and they can pay for the shipping as well. So it expands the possibility of or the potential of a particular store, a brick and mortar store, which is in 10 by 10 feet store, or 10 by 20 feet, or maybe 100 feet store.
Yes.
Feet, something like that. So it puts the offline premises into an online premise. So a POS can be that way as well.
Uh-huh. And so, David, you also have to think of point of sale as like one component of an e-commerce solution. And so my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you can have point of sale without a whole e-commerce solution, but it actually makes sense to have your point of sale directly connected to a whole e-commerce solution?
Yeah, definitely. Like, you can have it either ways, but it makes a lot of sense to have it all connected with the e-commerce, because, I mean, again, you get to explore the world. The people and people of all the region of the world can come and connect to your store. I mean, if the marketing is done properly, and even for an offline store, those who are running an offline store, they definitely know how it is vital to keep a signage to the store, how that is so much important to keep a prominent signage, which drives the customer. And so, if, for example, if you're spending $300 on a signboard, so for $200 on a signboard, on an LED board or a neon board, on a store, if that $300 is going to bring back you the revenue, and I'm damn sure like the neon signage or maybe the letters you put on the board is going to be bringing, so that $300 is going to be an investment. Same way in online, you have to be putting your advertisement. So if we are able to capable of putting our advertisements, we can really bring in a lot of people into this offline store anywhere from the world through this connected POS e-commerce solution.
Yeah. So it really broadens the marketplace for that particular business, doesn't it, by having those good solutions?
Yep, this is definitely that expands the capabilities, and it's the sky is our limit. So we don't have any potential, virtually or literally anything like that. So we don't
definitely. And David, can point of sale integrate with your accounting system?
Yep, I mean, literally it can integrate to any systems as long as we are able to get the APIs of that one. So
yes.
Simple integration system works this way. Like on an internet, like if you're able to get, if anybody's able to get the APIs, access, the access points, the endpoints.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So then in the endpoint, if you are able to point or reference the endpoint in any of the softwares, and you want to push the data from one software to another, automatically that is possible. So we don't have to be worrying like whether my point mm-hmm. of sale will be able to connect to my accounting books, accounting softwares, or would it be able to connect to my different e-commerce store, so which is provided to a different vendor. Yeah, that works. Everything works perfectly fine. We just need to have an endpoint.
Mm-hmm.
That's an API or an endpoint. So you can ask any programmer. We can do that by ourselves. So, but if that's
yes.
somebody's working somebody else's as well, so they can have their programmers connected, and then they can get their endpoints very pretty much in a matter of like a couple of hours, or maybe like a day or two. That's the endpoints functionality. So they can do that.
Fantastic. So the point of sale purpose is to make sure that you have an electronic device and a platform that sits with that device that enables you to track your stock, see what sales, see what's selling the most, see what's selling the least. A point of sale system will do all of those things. It will give you analytics around your sales as well, David?
Yeah. So point of sales, like right from a simple ordering solution.
Yes.
The basic thing is for point of sale is like it would act as a billing system. Mm-hmm. From there, obviously, if it's a billing system, we will have an inventory managed inside of that. We would have customers managed inside of that. But when we have to have advanced functionalities like analytics, the reporting analytics, what is the sale that is happening for the day, what is the sale that is going, what that has been done for the previous week, what is the order that has been, what is the product that has seen
yes.
has got the most order. So, for example, if we are selling eyewear, or maybe like in a shop, like if they are having different products, like maybe perfumes. So
Yes.
is the men's perfume that is selling more? So they this POS would be able to give you the figure of what is the number of the POS, what is the number of perfume that has been sold for this particular week or the previous week, and also if we want to have an advanced estimates, so we can also, if we want to have an advanced reporting system, we also can have an estimate of what we wanted to have. Like, for example,
yeah, so you can order more stock with more knowledge about what's selling. That's what
yeah.
it enables you to do, doesn't it? So that you know that this product normally sells 50 units every single month, generally speaking. That's how much stock you can keep, yeah?
Yeah, and one more thing, instead of going and digging up into the reporting systems, like report system, if the program, if there is an idea with somebody who is looking to have a forecasting system enabled or on program their way, so they can get a pop-up alert. Say, for example, that this forecasting system's job is to do only single one thing. So
yeah.
it will chunk your data. Like, for example, this week, this past week we had the sales going good, and the, it will compare that with the last previous week and compare, and it will also bring in. So if we are able to feed in a lot of data, so if we are smart enough to write some program,
yeah,
it can also query Google, and what it can do is like, is there a function nearby? Is there a program going on? Is that what impacting the sales today, or is this a festival season? So is that what happening this month? And then it can give you all the recommendations. So this is a function that has happened this week. And this is, I mean, the function in the sense, this is a ceremony that we have had this week, so nearby. And that's why the people from this region has flocked into your store and they have bought this particular X amount of product. So those capabilities can be developed as well. Those are a kind of forecasting systems that we can have. But generally speaking, like when we want to have a forecasting, we can just put week-on-week prediction, year-on-year prediction, or month-wise prediction, or this month, last year, what's the prediction? And because human minds would tend to like foresee something, which
yes.
So we might foresee some. We might not have a clear idea about, like, we might miss out some products, and we would see something else. But this data points, when we are about to look into the data points, and these data would give us a very clear picture about all these sales which is going to happen. So I believe, like, all the data in this POS solution,
yeah,
enabled with all these functionalities, would give us a very good decision making, and that would translate.
Absolutely. Decision making around your business in particular. And of course, the longer you have it, the better predictive information you have, because you start to see patterns over time. Yeah.
Yeah. So when the pattern is to just grow our business, we just need to duplicate. So duplicate
yeah.
process. So if I have done something today, and if I have seen some results, I just need to hire somebody to have that repeated. So he can repeat the same process if he's doing a sale. So if he's looking to build a technology, he has to repeat just what I have been doing so many months or years. And then if that is done, I would buy some time. So this is how the real business works. So the power of duplication or power of replication is something very wonderful. So you just have to staff somebody for some X amount of dollars. You buy some time out of that, and you just put your ideas into next set of things, develop your business, go on. And then similarly, this works for marketing, the same work for sales, same work for technology building, everything.
Everything. David, moving away from point of sale into scripts. Now, when I read that on your site, I remember thinking, I need to ask David, what do you mean when you talk about scripts? Can you explain for the everyday person what scripts means?
Okay, scripts in general means like the programming languages, the programming languages that are the programming softwares that we build. So, for example, a ticket booking script. A ticket booking script, or maybe a hotel booking script, or a seat booking script. So that's some kind of scripts that we work. There are some kind of scripts that we work on specifically. So especially like the scripts which is revolving around the transport systems, which is like booking your cab, like Uber, the Uber mechanism, the Uber system. So we have built that already 2 years back, and we have We have that as a product. That's one of the scripts that we have with us.
So David, it's like, so in my untechnical mind, it's like a specific language geared to a specific industry that is built specifically for them. So the ride hailing script is for anyone working in transport, whereby people book their transport with your company. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. So it's for a specific industry serving a specific purpose. We diversified earlier into different areas, but then we restricted to this transport ride hailing, e-commerce and OTT scripts. So which will help to go deeper into all of these techno areas. So because in OTT, the broadcasting industry is so big, so deep.
Yes.
E-commerce
yes.
is so deep. Yeah, yes. That's so deep. We say like today we are doing this in Zoom, but tomorrow when there is a public participation, people have to participate. We need to enable chat for them to chat about in chat window. Donate. We might require a donation system. We might not have that in Zoom. We need to have that in some other softwares. So we need to have our internal communication systems built. The communication system or the OTT is completely a very big and very vast area. So when you go deeper into that, you can just think about like what kind of scripts you need to add. Like for example,
yes.
Communication WebRTC, like right now we have RTMP, but we need to enable WebRTC where you can capture right from your camera without any lag. You and I are separated at least for around 10,000 miles now.
Yes.
But we just speak face to face and there's no lag. And so it's just in a matter of split second, less than a second, we are just able to transfer the data very fast across India to Australia, and then we are just sending this across the world. Whoever is watching this from the US.
Exactly.
Europe. So they are just seeing as it is happening in India and Australia and to the rest. So it's all, this is all powered through the scripts and this is all powered through the technologies. And that's what I, on a larger note, we mean by this script. So it's an enablement. The script is an enable, it's a form of idea that we wanted, that we program into a particular language to facilitate your idea come into reality. Internet and everything is so because of that idea that is born out of different people, the head of different people. So
it's about like translating a language, really. It's about me going, I need my program to do A, B, or C, and you go back to your team and they write the language that enables the computer systems and the internet to do exactly what you want it to do. And I'm guessing, David, that this is just an ever-expanding place to be, isn't it? Particularly with AI and what that might look like in the future. Do you find it mind-blowing as you're the head of a tech company? Do you find it fascinating that we are expanding in technology so fast?
Yeah, definitely. Like expansion is happening and our minds cannot comprehend that. That's a real fact. So because like we can only think about one thing, a little thing at a time. Like there are so many companies nearby us, like they're surrounding me where I live in. So you know, definitely a company called Soho, which is selling CRMs, accounting books and a lot of other stuffs there. So they started 15 years back and they are having over 50,000 companies, 50,000 companies using their products.
Wow.
And each of those company pay, each of those company should be paying them close to $150 a minimum every single month, a minimum of $150. So you can see 50,000 and 150. And that all started with a small CRM solution. So these guys not just stopped with the CRM, they went into accounting system, they went into developing a solution for the computer where you can manage all your staff's computer wherever in the part of the world they are. So you can install. You can monitor wherever they are. They want whatever you want from them. So there is a lot of solutions. So when the heads just dip into what's expanding in the internet,
yes,
lot of possibilities. That man, he's from a village, very, very remote village. But when I just was thinking about him, I was just thinking about how how do he might have brought this company to this level where there are 5,000 staffs working in this particular company alone, and they are self-funded. The most important thing is they are self-funded, and there's no partners to the company. There is only one person who is the managing director of the company, and there's 5,000 staff, and they are having the largest cloud in the world. More than Google, they have a lot of data centers. So these guys, this is the largest private health data center. And these guys, for this question that you have asked for, so technology, adaptation of technology is happening in a wider space of scale. And also the ideas that is poured into the technology space is also getting a lot of expansion. You can see a lot expanding in technology space every single day. And to catch up, we have to be also investing our time and our energy into this technology space. I wouldn't say money, because money is not the determining factor for growth of any business. That is about the idea, the number of hours, time, and the energy, like the number of hours that we are able to put into technology, and the number of the energy and the time that we are spending here is what it is going to be giving the leverage for us to push. Like we might have $1 million, but when we do not spend the right time in the product, but we still have the money is not going to push us forward. And but all these can come step by step as well, like one step at a
I
time.
was just going to say, David, the other thing is that when you work with WebNexus, that you can start at this step and see into the future that you want to be at that step, but you don't have to do it all at once. Like it can be an incremental growth as your business or company grows, and your team can program at a rate that suits the growth of that company.
Yeah, definitely. Like that's definitely what we are looking at as well. So I would always recommend, like every single morning, what I just go into is like I just check all my emails, which comes from Basecamp, and to see like did everything got responded. I mean, the response matters because it is a progress of our client. So if they progress, if they make some money in their business, so obviously that we would be in the show for a long run. So we want to see that our clients succeed in that way. Using our products, and so that is literally, it's not about it's not, I mean, there are several ideas to run a business. I think you can put in a lot of marketing budget, you can take clients, and then you can get their money, and then you can just say bye to them once the development is done. That's one way. You can stay with your client for a longer run, and then you can help them, you can give them whatever they want, and you can help push them forward and move with them. That is one method. And there's another method, you can get the money and you can get vanished. Do nothing and go vanish.
But WebNexus is very much about that partnership model. You want to partner with the business or company that you work with because you want to hang around and help them with their solutions as they grow and develop.
Yeah, definitely. Like when that's part of a growth. That's part of our growth. When we started with the company like 5 years back, they were making 100,000 to 200,000. I mean, 100 to $150,000 a month. But today they have around six businesses, each of them making more than $1 million a month. So you could say 6 million in 5 years, and from $100,000, so 6 million is $600,000, and from like 1 million or 100,000 to 6,000 minutes, I don't put the figure, I can't put the figure. So it's like the growth is phenomenal, tremendous, and like we still back them on the technology side, whatever capability that we have. So with the capability, and we get some retainers for that every single month as well, so that the client is happy, and everybody right here is also happy, because that's how I believe like mutual support is only going to push a company forward. And this day morning as well, like I mean, though we're going out of this conversation, I just want to tell something. Like this same morning, I was reading about a company, and they were telling like they have got large ticket sales in their bucket. The CEO of that company, like you might have heard about Wipro. Wipro is a company, Wipro. Wipro have over 200,000 staffs globally working. 200.
That's a lot, isn't it?
That's a huge, whole lot of things. And they're based out of India, and they have all the bases in US, Europe. I don't know if they are in Australia, but they have a lot of people split around, I mean, across the globe.
Yeah.
The CEO of the company has told one thing, like, our clients grow, and I'm happy to see they are using our products, and they use our products, and our clients grow because of our products. And today, we are also growing on quarterly growth is around 12% to 13%. This quarter, we have grown 13%. Year on year, we are growing 45%. So that's a good number for us to grow. So that all depends on how much support somebody who is investing on you. It's not they are getting a product. It's not EWN TV or Tony TV is getting a product from WebNexus. It's not about that. It's about they are investing in WebNexus for something
yes.
that they're getting back. So that's the idea. So if a business owner, so anybody, it can be anyone. Like if you are investing in somebody, if you are ready to invest on somebody, and if they are going to give us the value back, then obviously it's going to be a very good thing, mutual exchange, because obviously you have a lot of things. If somebody is having an offline store and they are running a system, they definitely have a lot of inventories, like customers and clients. We can go into their system. We can give our POS. We can put our e-commerce to them. We can help them. And
yes.
If they're investing on us, like on getting a software, and then we can help them on a POS and see what challenges that they have and improve on. So that's missing, like in most part of the businesses, it's missing, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why we are here as well, and we exist because of that small problem solving thing, and we do want to continuously support that in that fashion. And
yeah.
even we support on site a couple of weeks back, last
yes.
week, so I was sending some guys to on site 3,000 miles from me, 2,000 miles from here where I live.
Yeah.
So client has a good office, they have a good office, so they were asking our team to come there and just help us in for couple of months to get this all sorted. These guys were happy to jump in over there, up there, and deliver something for the client as well. So it's
David, I'm curious to know, technology for companies in business is incredibly important, isn't it? And having the right technological solution for their particular business is even more crucial, isn't it? Because if you get the wrong solution, it could actually drive your company backwards, couldn't it?
Yeah, definitely. So every idea is born in our mind. And if we believe in our idea, we will give birth to the technology. And if the technology is born, we have to still believe in and nurture it and grow that.
Mm-hmm.
So if a baby is born, if we leave the baby to the bed and we don't, the mother wouldn't nurse the baby, that it will obviously pass away in a couple of days. that's so much relevant to technology as well, for that matter, any business as well. So if we have invested on something and we want to, the right technology, maybe the technology might be like, we would have thought something would have helped us in next few months, but if that was proving wrong, don't worry about that. But there are so many people who are having the same kind of thing and they're making their living. So what you have, the gut moment that you had at that point of time, which made you to make that decision, was not wrong. It was right. And your brain has that chemicals reprogrammed in that particular time to push you through that direction. And you got it. So let's believe in the momentum. But of course, like when we are investing in something which is in a wrong direction or which is not progressive to the environment or the society, maybe you might see a small glitch.
Yeah.
So the glitch might be there, but overall, like we should be investing our brains into that always and always, because I have a scenario which you wouldn't believe, other people listening to this wouldn't believe. I had a situation which I didn't take up really well for. 2 years, 3 years now. It's 2.5 years now. We started an animation division, which we didn't do very well in terms of financially. So we do all the animation things, 3D animations. Financially, we were not doing very great because all the rest of the divisions were financially strong, but this division was financially not good. So I was reviewing that, trying to put a lot of ideas. One time I did an idea and that got stuck and it got failed. The second time the idea failed, third time failed, and fourth time failed. And finally, but never give up. Don't stop the team. Like you got a moment, and that something made you to push through that. So you don't go back in the track and say, "Look, okay, guys, like I'm so sorry, I had hired you when I was drunk or when I was doing something."
I had this idea, and I thought it was going to be great.
Yeah, now it's failed, and I'm so sorry. So, no, not that moment. Still, I have that guy's paying for them, but now the project is flowing in. The marketing is
kicking
in. So many marketing ideas, because I never had an affiliation with 3D animation. That's one of our clients. He told him on this, and I'll give you the projects, but he didn't give. But still, I'm working with a client on a different other verticals, but I cannot complain to them. I cannot go and complain to him. It's because of you. I'm just incurring this much of $5,000 a month in this expenditure for the team salary alone, for your just team, small team there. $5,000, $6,000 is incurring for me in an Indian environment. So it is like a big thing. So I cannot go and complain. I don't like complaining as well. Like, that's not
I know. I've never heard you complain about anything. But David, back to the animation. Can you tell us about that space and what you guys are doing in that space?
But definitely. Yeah. So the animation segment is really an enjoyable situation, because you create life. You create life out of nothing. And we both are talking here. Our animators can picture us, and they can put a Tony and David talking like this on a table, straight on their straight.
As an animation.
As an animation, or maybe like, and maybe like, we can bring in a lot of, we can tell a lot of societal values through the animation for kids, for the adults, for the churches, for the animation is for everything. For maybe we can build a TV, build a construction environment, and we can maybe, if you're building a house, we can see how my house would look like through an animation. When that is for human anatomy, we can just build an anatomy. If a doctor is working with us, and if he wants his skull to be done, model in a 3D, so he can tell this is how the brain would look like, this is how the medulla oblongata would be like behind it, it would be like cerebellum. So he can give us a picture, and we would like able to model that and the blood flow through that. So realistically, like putting something which out of nothing before you, the model form is what a 3D would be capable of. So it can be a realistic 3D, cartoonistic 3D. It can be a different form of 3D environment that we can create out to our clients. Or maybe it can be a series of episodes, like, for example,
I was going to ask you about that. So you could do series of animated stories. You could do a series of animated videos that are how-to videos. So that's where animation is going. So you could create how to upload your videos on an OTT platform as an animation.
Yeah, this is about, that can be done in 2D as well. So this is about 3D. So there are two possibilities, 2D and 3D.
Yes.
So 2D is all about how-tos, but sometimes like later or now, so there are also 3D animations coming up for how to do this, how to do that, and how to upload your videos, how to upload this particular thing in your system. So that comes in right now. But there are also 2D guides which we can, that 2D would be faster to do compared to 3D. 2D would be much faster, much easier. 3D would be like to put a face. 3D would take one day, well, just to draw a face, and then if you want to have a bone skeleton something put up, it would take day, 2 days time. They would model, they would program, rig it out, they have to redo the rig.
So it takes a bit of time though, David.
Yeah, so if we want to put a 1 minute video in 3 minutes, it would be probably taking for a single resource, it would be taking over a few weeks, like 3 weeks.
Yeah,
3 weeks minimum. So that's 1 minute video. So it would be taking 1 month, 3 weeks to 1 month for one resource. So because and the programming part of that, so it has also got a lot of programming part of it. Programming in the sense, not the coding part, but the programs happen in Maya. So they have to connect the nodes, they have to draw a lot of nodes into that one, so they have to see the smoothness
Yes.
It's a human model, like human model, they have to emulate the reaction specifications, like we move our eyebrows, we move our eyes, we move our hands when we talk, so that natural flow has to be coming. So that those all things has to be programmed into a system, and then you have to give it to the client. So reanimation is about that. But then, like, if we wanted an episode to be that, the episode would be like 20 minutes, so it can be done in a month with a team of 3 or 4 people. And like going on from that, so that would be like, if somebody is investing on that, like I want to see 4 weeks, 4 episodes, 4 weeks, so they can, instead of, and they want to tell the story out of that, I want to see kind of values, a biblical story, the Bible story, so maybe story of the history of our past, a story of our ancestors, or so story of our education, and something that can be also done in 3D animation. So we do all these kind of things here. And also we create models, like, for example, now we are into creating e-commerce models for somebody from, he's from France, I believe.
Yes.
Or Europe. France or German, I believe, I'm not sure about the location, but we do models for them, and every day the team is occupied with creating, building models for them. So I just told, we have that flow of work for next over 2 years. So I mean, that's where, like, when we stepped in, like, we had nothing, and I have no idea about what I can do in this stadium. Something, some wild night of my dream has come in my head. Just jump in. Invested a lot of money in the team salary, like 2.5, 3 years, like it was going around 5,000, 6,000 every month. It has been 6,000 every month. It's like a wildest nightmare that I couldn't do. I could, but and no money is coming back. No money is coming back.
Yes. So,
and now, but it is okay. It's going on. It's,
and there's uptake in the market now, so it's all okay.
Yeah, but because, like, I'm not from a 3D background.
No. So
that would be needing some time for you to learn. And if I haven't given the time, so before a couple of minutes, I would have thought about the time and the energy that we have to put in. So this is where that comes in. I had deployed money to run the business. Maybe, like, you can say at least $200,000 till date has been spent on that with no return on investment.
Yeah.
But what happened is nothing back. So after I had squeezed some, and now I stopped the budget because I don't have a budget for it anymore. So squeezed that out of it. Then I found, like, okay, now I have to put my time into it, not the money. Now I have to put the energy into it, not the money again. So that's now going into the track. So we need to put time and money. So many people would think I need some investments coming in so I can start this business. No, it's not that big. Small step at a time. Like 5 years back, like when we had this all small, like we don't have any money at all. Like but help our clients, believe in the clients, help them small step by step, and then you'll see progress going
on. Yeah. David, I want to circle back to that conversation we started about AI and the AI technology world and how you see that progressing. Is that something WebNexus will start to play in as well, the AI world?
Yeah, definitely. So the AI is going to be it's not an sophisticated thing. It's not a luxury for business to have it.
It's
mandatory thing in the coming years to go on, because to survive like a human brain, like definitely a human brain is not so much competent, I believe. So we are competent, we are creating a lot of other things, but when we have a lot of things, we have to take a lot of decision as well. So that's where I see this AI is going to be a vital part of our everyday business.
Everyday
businesses. So when we are in our primitive days, we might have taken one decision a day or one decision a week, and we would have passed that way. But when we are sitting as a business owner and on top of a business, so that person has to take, I don't know, like he might take 10 decisions a day, 20 decisions a day, and to take decisions, he has to sit on the data points, the number points, like he has to sit he has to see the data, what's where, from where, what is coming in, what's going on, why this guy, why 20% attrition rate is there, why 30% something is falling down, why this store is not perform, why this rack in my store is not performing well, why this particular series is not going good, and why there's no subscription to the series, what's the wrong thing with this one. So we need to have put in a lot of data points to that one. So when we only are able to comprehend, then we would be able to go above that one, and we will be seeing a lot of improvement. So if we see, like, for example, a video of ours is not doing good, if that is only having 100 views or 500 views, something like that. So we need to be kicking into that one and put some time to that and see, like, why that is not going on correct way.
Yes.
If that is going correctly, then if that is going correctly, I believe because obviously it will take time. When we cannot put a single video and say, like, okay, I have done my job now. That would kick for me like 40,000 views or 50,000 views back, and I would be popular in the day one. No, it's not going to happen. It would take its own time. It would take
Does take time.
Yeah, it takes time, because otherwise everybody can be popular in the day one with one single video. A lot of time would be taken consumed. So what I believe is, like, it takes time, but then we still need to be putting our energy into that to analyze what are the loops that we have, where are the keywords, what are the keywords that we have put into the platform.
Yeah.
What is the best time of the day? What is the optimal number of comments that we have to put into the platform, particular platform, to give that thing? So these numbers has to be, we cannot just remember everything and just go squeeze the time and just check everything. We need some format of things which can do some data analysis for us and then bring that to us. So maybe we can build an AI through Python language or something like that, which can scrap through that page, scrape it out. We can our job is to just say, like, compare this one with this one and just give me the differences that I have in my video page or maybe in my e-commerce page. So now if I have found the differences, I could easily bridge the gap, and I can easily cover that one to make my video progress to that space. And I can have so much views on that one.
Yes.
So, and also, like, what kind of content interests my audience? So what kind of product is going to be suitable to my audience, which I'm marketing, the geography. And one more thing is, like, so much important.
Yeah.
When we market, like, you are from Australia, so you definitely know a lot of Australian language, slang. But when we market in India, like, the slang semantics differ. So the semantic system. So when we wanted to market ourselves,
the messaging's different. Like, there's subtle differences. But so you and I are conversing in English really, really well. However, if you want to reach, my understanding is that if you want to reach a vaster Indian audience, then you have to incorporate not just English, but the words that mean something different in English versus Indian. You have to incorporate that into that message, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. So that's so much important. And India's language, India is a country with, I think, more than 40 languages. I mean, I believe so. I never know. There's a lot of small indigenous languages still we have. So there is a lot. Every state here, like, we have got so many states, and all these states have got their own languages. So these language, when I cross 500 kilometers from here, they have a different language. Uh-huh. When I cross another 500 kilometers, they have a different language.
Another different.
Yeah, every 500 kilometers is having a different language for them.
Yeah.
Even for an Indian, it's very difficult to understand.
I was going to ask you, do you notice the differences as well? Although, like, I speak to many, many Indians, most of you speak English as well, but I'm wondering how hard it is to speak English, your form of Indian, and then 10 other different Indian languages from across the continent. That must be incredibly difficult.
Yeah, definitely. So that's a huge, I mean, with huge difficulty. When I went to this 2,000 miles apart from where I live, on this on site, people out there, they speak Hindi, and we speak Tamil, so that's our mother tongue, and these guys would speak Hindi, and that Hindi is nowhere related to the language that we speak, and And our guys cannot even have a meal. Like, they were suffering for a meal. They were asking, can I have a food over there? Like, what kind of food? My food is not here, so I cannot get any food from my stomach or from my mouth. So they're struggling for the food, actually.
Oh, no.
And then we have got somebody who is going to help them for food in their native language. So there is a guy who knows English now. So these guys communicate in English to them. So that arrangement has to be made even for the food. So there's a lot of differences when we travel from south to north in India. It just differs a lot, and even English speaking, the way of people, the way of language that people speak here, the English,
Australian English is different from American English, is different from English.
Yeah, the British and Indian English is different from South Indian English to North.
Yeah.
So they have a lot of slang to that. So so in the same way, like when we put a slang semantic into this language, so we need to be understanding like how this internet works, how different so the geography. So we need to understand as a business guy, and then put the product into that. So if I'm marketing for Australia, I have to be making sure maybe I speak to a guy who is an international person from in Australia, or maybe I should be able to put myself into the shoe of an Australian and speak his Australian language. Otherwise, I might not be able to do good, or maybe my marketing campaign will fail. So
We have a lot of slang. Australians have a lot of slang that is just weird to other people, but is everyday to us. David, in talking about languages, I'm actually thinking about the language of computer programming and that there are multiple computer programming languages, but they are the same whether you're in the US or India or Africa or wherever. If you program in a certain language, say Java, it's the same for everyone, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. It's same for everyone. So if you are doing a program in Java, it's a program everywhere across the world. So maybe they would have there might be some comments which is in their native language, but otherwise it's just going to the same. But mostly it's going to be English unless we are getting a programmer from China. They would do their programming in Java, but they would write all this Chinese language inside that.
I see. So that makes it hard as well.
Yeah, we cannot get anything from China. Like everything is Chinese.
I know. I'm thinking, that makes that completely out of that would be just too hard.
Yeah, you can get a lot of news from India, but you cannot get a news from China.
I agree.
Yeah. So Indian everything is in English, but in China everything. Chinese.
Correct. That's the nice thing about dealing with India is that most of you speak and understand some level of English, which is not saying that English is better than your native language. It just makes communication a bit easier and nicer, and it's lovely to be able to speak to you. Although I've said to the guys in our base camp that perhaps I need to learn to speak Hindi so that I can communicate with them better. But back to WebNexus, because we've just got a few more minutes of time, and I was curious why you went into the transport industry with the ride hailing apps. What was the driver for that? I'm curious.
Okay. So it was like
A midnight inspiration for David.
A lot of things happen when you just think over, when you sit on
it. Yes. Yes.
A lot of things happen. So especially like when I was thinking, I never compare. Like one thing is like I never compare anybody.
Yeah.
Because when we start comparing, we just start circling around them, and we will just lose track of what we have to do, and then we will just copy those something that. So it is like the ride hailing is. I was thinking. So something was happening. I don't know the exact moment. So I was thinking what would be the biggest industry that is going to be coming in for the next 10 years or 15 years?
Yes.
And that is the key driver for us to take a product like OTT or e-commerce or transport. So this transportation will never stop.
We're always going to need transport, aren't we, David? Like always. unless we have rockets, but even then you're still going to be able to hail a rocket.
Yeah, so we need a lot of transportation systems. We need So maybe at one day people would start to stop owning. I mean, right now people are having cars, a lot of their cars with them. But
that may not continue though, as climate change is a consideration.
Yeah, before the 20, 30 years, everybody had a kitchen in their home and they had all the three mains cooked in their home.
Today,
there are a lot of hotels out there, restaurants out there, more than your kitchen homes.
Yes.
30 years back, we never had a hotel or restaurant, and now the food is taken out of our home and we are getting food from the hotels. And we had a beautiful diary in our pocket. Now that is taken to Google Calendar. Taken out.
Similarly,
you might own a car today, but tomorrow this car is going to be driven and owned by somebody else. And popping in for a dollar or two, we will reach
this. And you're just going to borrow it for 2 hours that you need to drive somewhere.
So this industry is going to see some transformation. When this transformation is going to happen, there will be a lot of driving forces that is going to happen. And now people need tracking. Whatever they do, they need to have a tracking system enabled.
Yeah. Where is that car? Is it going to be here soon? Yeah.
We need to have a tracking system enabled. We need to have a transformation happening into the industry. So when foreseeing all these things, like I was saying, okay, the mode of communication is going to be changed. Mode of transport is going to be changed. And that's where this idea of transport system was, we have to do something in the transporting system and we have to build a software which we will be able to just use it for different modes of transportation. And the idea is, so obviously we have a software, we have a software for that built 2 years back. We are nurturing that. So that as an industry will only continue to grow. But
absolutely.
We might maybe in a transformed way, different way, maybe in a different way to grow. But otherwise, it's not going to stop anywhere in the near future. So everybody is looking into a different option, transport method of transport. The cars, the fuel is only changing. Now the EV is catching up. The petrol and the gasoline, the diesel are changing to this one, the EV. And then somebody is saying like hydrogen fuel cars would catch up. So this cheap, it's going to be much cheaper than the fossil fuel thing. So they are saying hydrogen is also a fossil fuel. We cannot double it. So that so transformation in that dimension is only going to happen. We are not going to transform in a different way. So that was the moment that I thought like, okay, so let's do some software for this industry. The base software for this industry. So we have a base software. We have something going on in that one. So, of course, like there's a lot of idea crazy going into the head, but then like when we want to implement the software, when we wanted to catch that to the market, then we have a marketing hiccup. So we market that wherever it's possible. Right now, we are writing a scope, something for the government of Saudi Arabia. That's a huge thing. Like they
want to put
the transportation into a tracking infrastructure. So
there
were 7 participants and we are one of that participants who are shortlisted for that one.
Fantastic, David.
We are doing that negotiations, like what's going on. Preparing some infrastructure. I mean, helping materials that they can read with us and transportation. That is especially for the transportation with the Ministry of Government of Saudi Arabia.
That's an incredibly exciting project for Web Nexus, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. That would be a lot exciting because.
Yeah.
I mean, our journeys in WebNexus started with Saudi Arabia, and we left Saudi Arabia. I don't know why we left Saudi Arabia to the focusing on US and the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. But we were limited to Saudi Arabia because our first client was from Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. We have a succession of clients from Saudi Arabia coming and back to us.
Fantastic.
That one old client, which is like which we developed some software for him 7 years back, he came to us. I mean, there's a project, he came to us, he showed me this one. There's a project and I definitely want you to just participate in it. This is how it is. And let's give a go through that, attend that one. So we were doing a lot of online conversation and that guy, they're a company from Saudi Arabia. So they're trying to help us on that matter now.
Oh, great. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's really awesome. Yeah, I believe so. When we do that, we would have the complete Saudi Arabian. When we are able to lift that software with Saudi Arabia, the complete Saudi Arabia, we arrive in there. But I'm not sure. Like, what one thing I see is, like, I see a lot of positive momentum in that one because we have a software already, and we are the only
Yes,
software
yes.
having. The rest of the others have to be building that from scratch.
Yeah, that's exciting, David. And on that note, on that exciting note and discovery, we are completely out of time. David,
Oh.
thank you so much. We've had a long, winding conversation about a whole range of things that Web Nexus does, and you inspire me each week when we have these discussions about your vision, what comes to you, what you develop, and what you decide you provide a solution for. I think it's amazing. That, my friend, is your lot for this week. I encourage you, if you're watching this program in replay, please connect with David. If you're thinking about needing a technology solution for anything, David and the team at Web Nexus can just about do anything. I'm convinced of it. David, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Tony, for a lot of exploratory questions that you have put across, bringing in what we have hidden so far from the world.
Thanks, David.